When do we turn? I know many of you have already heard this, but let me get everybody on the same page. Go to Job just a second, chapter 38, and let's see if we can determine, since the Bible does not specifically any place say this is the day that God created angels. In the six 24-hour days in Genesis chapter 1, it does not say, and God created angels. It does say, by Him were all things created. It does say that in six 24-hour days, God created everything in the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. It does say that, but it never says, and this is the day that God created angels. So we go to Job, and we get some information in chapter 38. You remember chapter 38 of the book of Job? That's when, after losing everything except his life, he's lost his health, his wealth, his wife, his family, everything, and his so-called friends come to him and say, "Why don't you just denounce God and die?" And then God says he better have a visit with Job. And he comes to have a conversation. And he speaks loud enough so all of Job's neighbors can eavesdrop on the conversation. And this is the conversation in chapter 38. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" You have a problem? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You think you've got troubles? You think I'm not still in charge? You think this world's falling apart? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? By the way, have you ever measured the earth? Can you show me where the cornerstone is? Can you show me where those pillars for the foundation are located? That's what he continues to say. And then he says in verse 7 this. He said, verse 4 again, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Slip over to verse 7. "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, morning stars and sons of God, terms referring to angels. His statement is, when I created the earth, the morning stars, the sons of God, were there to shout praise unto me. The angels were on the scene. Now go back to Genesis chapter 1. In order for us now, with that information, by the way, this is what you have to do sometime to come to a doctrinal understanding of the subject you're dealing with. There's no Bible verse or even a chapter, basically, that can lay out all the doctrinal information we need to know about the Trinity. Not a place. You can't take me to one chapter and verse and prove the Trinity beyond any shout of doubt. But you have to take a compilation of verses and come to a conclusion. Same thing with angels. Now, we start out, they were there when God created the earth because they sang praise and shouted joy for what he had done. Chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens." I got a King James Bible, and mine says heaven. I'm sorry, as people have said that I ought not to do this because the King James is holy. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, I believe the original manuscript is holy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the original manuscript in the Hebrew says heavens, plural. And if it's not heavens, then Paul contradicts the Bible. Because he said, "I know a man who went to the third heaven." I think he's talking about himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Who he's talking about, it doesn't really matter. But he knows somebody who went to the third heaven. That means there are at least three heavens. The third heaven, the second heaven, and the first heaven. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens. Now notice the next phrase. And the earth. You know what he left out? Angels. In the beginning, God created the heavens. He just didn't put in angels. Now, how do I know? Chapter 38 of the book of Job. Angels were there to shout when he did what? Created the earth. So, if he created everything, and he created the heavens first, and he created the earth in Scripture second, the angels had to be slipped in there just before the earth came so they could shout and say, "Praise God, look at the job he did." Man, that was great. So, there's where angels come into existence. Now, were they all good angels? Absolutely. What does Genesis 1:31 say? "Abundantly excellent is everything I have created." There was no sin. There were no fallen angels in the first 6 days of creation. He was created perfect. He was in the Garden of Eden. We'll get to that in a moment and show you in Ezekiel 28. He was there in perfection without sin. Now, he does sin. Because in chapter 3, verse 1, the main chapter we'll be looking at this morning, in chapter 3, verse 1, in the form of a serpent, he is in the Garden of Eden. And no longer is he Lucifer, his name, in the beginning, but his name has been changed to Satan, a deceiver. What happened? Well, remember in the Garden of Eden, he was an observer of what was going on. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 28 just for a second. Ezekiel chapter 28, this will give us a bit more insight into Lucifer. Lucifer, and we get that name, Lucifer, from over in, we'll go to Isaiah chapter 14 as well. So get Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 together. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That was his title. See the morning stars, the sons of God, Lucifer. How art thou fallen, Lucifer? That's in chapter 14 of Isaiah. But chapter 28 of Ezekiel, starting in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And then he explains how beautiful this angel was. This one angel, Lucifer. This one angel, Lucifer, who, as you well know, the cream always comes to the top of the milk, doesn't it? And the best would come forth, and God is going to do something special for him. Thou, verse 13 again, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Look at the last part after the description of how beautiful he was. That in the day that thou was created, in verse 13, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. He was a part of the class of angels referred to as cherubim. Cherubim is the plural for cherub. And so he was the appointed cherub. And it says, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Now that's an interesting phrase. There is some debate by some Bible scholars. I don't consider myself necessarily one of those. I do consider myself a Bible teacher. But there's a debate as to what the holy mountain of God is talking about. Let me tell you what I believe it's talking about. Holy mountain of God is used 18 times in the Old Testament. It's used 2 times here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. The other 16 times it is always referring to a place on earth. I submit to you that the holy mountain of God is talking about a specific location on earth. And I submit to you that specific location is the Garden of Eden. You don't rip out of context a phrase that has in a hermeneutical, hermeneutics, the system of interpreting the Word of God, a hermeneutical principle that is talking about the Garden of Eden, and in every other location it is talking about, without any other explanation, a location on earth. So the Garden of Eden on earth in the context of Ezekiel chapter 28, this angel, Lucifer, was in the Garden of Eden in his beauty, appointed as the most prestigious of all the angels created, the place of prominence overlooking all of God's creation. He is in that position, appointed by God himself. And in that position, he can observe all of creation. And he watches as God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 28 gives dominion to man. And he says, where didn't I get that? I am the most beautiful of all the angels created. I am in the prominent position. I am looking over all of creation. And now he goes to someone lower than the angels, selects humans to put in my position that I should have dominion over all of creation?